so grateful that your word promises that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're right there in the midst of us. And so we thank you for your presence here right now. I thank you for receptive hearts to receive your word. I thank you for this amazing praise and worship. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to just come and be free to worship you. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, Lord, and we don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that you have paid the price for our freedom, and we lay hold to that, and then we'll walk in it. And we just praise you and thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Was that awesome? Praise and worship. Yay. Thanks, you guys. So awesome. Thank you so much. You started singing that More Love, More Pad, that song right there. It's like, oh my gosh, it just erupted on the inside of me. So I'm like, okay. I just wrote a whole other page of notes or just scriptures to myself. Good evening, everyone. I'm not Pastor Robert. So, anyway, just an honor to be able to stand up here and get to share the word with you. It's always exciting to see what God's going to do, because I had the grandson today. So just in the back of my mind, I'm, you know, just going through all the stuff that we've talked about. What Pastor preached last Wednesday was so great, and what Dwayne preached about knowledge and understanding, and I'm just mulling all this stuff in my head. But the scripture that God gave me was, which you all are familiar with, is 2 Corinthians 10. And I wanted to just start there, and then we'll kind of see where the Lord goes with it, because I've got like three pages in three directions to go, but I'm certain that, and with confidence, that the Holy Spirit will show me exactly which road to go down today for the edification of you guys. One thing I want to do really quick before I forget, because I keep wanting to do this, and I just want to acknowledge me tonight really quickly. Corey, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. I mean, I've done this three times in a row. I go to the bathroom, and the toilet paper is wrapped like you would be in a hotel room. This woman loves Jesus, and she takes care of his house with a spirit of excellence. So, sweetie, thank you so much. I feel so special when I get to the bathroom and my toilet paper's wrapped. And then I think, well, I want to do that the same for the next person. It ain't happening. I tried doing it. It's like, okay, never mind. You have a gift to be able to do that. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you for that. I mean, the house of God is beautiful. And I always think about what David said. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell among the tents of the wicked. And that's how I feel about any service you do for the Lord. I'd rather be a housekeeper for the house of the Lord than to dwell among the tents of the wicked. And I know it's a labor of love. It is labor, cleaning this place and cleaning these chairs. And every single week, you know, I just want you to know I appreciate you so much. Really do. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 10, I feel very loud. I hope I'm not too loud for you guys, because I can't whisper. I don't know how to. Okay, I know you're familiar with this. It says, in 10 verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So I did a little bit of search on that, because I know we've heard that before. But that word flesh really means, it says, though we walk in the flesh, so we walk in the flesh. And that word flesh actually means we're human. We have passions. We have frailties. We have weaknesses. We have issues. But though we walk in this flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, when you think about warring, and if we were to war according to the flesh, what would we want to do? How would we wage war? With our fists, with our mouths, with our weapons. Right? But he says, we're not going to wage war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I wanted to read this in the Amplified Bible. Oh, I'm not in the right one. Hold on one second. Bear with me. I was looking at something else. 2 Corinthians 10. Okay. Okay, I just love this. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch," okay, this is verse 5, "inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Okay, but I want to go back here to where it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare." It says the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Okay, so what it says weapons, it's plural. Now, we know about the one weapon that God's given us, right? What is it? The Word of God. Because in Ephesians, it says that that's the one weapon that we know we have. Everything else in our armor is protection. It's defensive. But our one offensive weapon that it says in Ephesians is the sword of the Spirit. And we know that the Word of God is a number one weapon, right? Let's look at Hebrews, just so you can have it, and you need to underline this in your Bible if you don't have it underlined. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Solomon's already preaching. How old is he now? 6 months old, already preaching. Come on, brother. Let me hear an amen. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword." Okay, so this sword that we have, it's sharper than any two-edged sword that you can have in the physical, okay? And this is what it does. "Penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of the soul and the immortal spirit, of the joint and marrow, which is the deepest parts of our nature." So that's that flesh part of us, right? "Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." That's what the Word of God, that's how alive the Word of God is that's what it does. It exposes, sifts, analyzes, judges the thoughts and purposes. And another translation says the intentions of our heart. Okay, so we go back to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 5, click, click, click. Okay, so it says that the weapon that we have, so let's look at the word first since we know what it is. The word is a weapon. And the weapon is to refute arguments, theories, and reasonings that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now, we know that there's a lot of knowledge out there, right? And let's see, in 1 Corinthians 8, 1, you can just jot that down, it says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Now, we can all be full of knowledge, and we can all just know all kinds of stuff, but you know what it says? If you don't have love, it's nothing, right? Knowledge puffs up. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Don't you hate it when somebody says that to you, if you just give them a little tidbit of information, instead of being a receiver and saying, oh, wow, that's really good, and let them minister it, because it's like when someone ministers it back to you and you may already know it, just by allowing them to share it, it builds them up. It edifies them. When you can walk in love, you know, if you just say, oh, I knew that, well, what does it do to the other person? It deflates them. It doesn't edify them. Okay, so the Word of God is what we use to refute arguments, theories, reasonings, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so how many of you every day are bombarded with things that are opposing the knowledge of God? And this is what I was thinking this week, after the last time that I was sharing about the Word, is people thinking that it's hard. I thought about procrastination. About how am I going to get all that word on the inside of me? I mean, how, you know, Tracy can sit up there and she can just blah, 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 blah it out. Well, For 28 years, I've been taking a scripture and working on that one. And so those of you who procrastinate and think it's too hard or the question, you know, it's like, oh gosh, I could never do that. This is what I'm going to challenge you to do. Find a scripture or do a devotional, because it really doesn't matter, because the whole word is the weapon. Isn't that right? Find out an area in your life where you need to be strengthened and be edified, and find a scripture about it. And just focus on that scripture for 5 minutes every day. First thing when you wake up, or any time when you have a little bit of idle time, just take that one scripture. And if you'll just take time to meditate on that, guess what you're doing? You're sharpening your sword. You're sharpening your sword. And so if you do that, let's just say you take one scripture at the beginning of the month that's going to edify you in an area where you have weakness. Let's say, I can't think of anything right this minute. I'm trying to think of some things that I've had to work on, like, you know, being a good wife. We were married 29 years on Sunday, and so we have a lot to celebrate, as he did marry a very crazy woman. And we all know that to be true. So I can't think of anything right now, but I'm just saying the scriptures that God gave me to get out of my craziness, to be, the Bible says for husbands to love your wives and wives respect your husbands. So husbands don't really need the ooey gooey love, love, love. They need respect. And the wives need love, 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 love me. Most of us. You know, your personality will determine that a lot. But when your husband has your respect, he feels loved. And so back a long time ago when I figured that out, it was like, okay, how do I respect him? Because there were some things about him that I didn't really like. Honestly, I mean, we can all say that about our husbands, right? So it's like, okay, so the Holy Spirit said, find something you like and hone in on that. So that's what I did. And I didn't just keep it to myself. I let him know. And I didn't say, oh, honey, I respect you for this, blah, blah, blah. No, I just told him how amazing he was in that area. He is an amazing father. And when we first had kids, he was gone a lot. He was in the military. He was at the White House. He was doing different stuff. And so he wasn't around a lot when the boys were little, like, I don't know, 2 or 3. When we moved back to Utopia, I can't remember, they were 1 and 2, 3, somewhere around there, 2 and 3. So anyway, they hadn't been around their dad a whole lot, and, you know, it was just us, and then here he comes in, and so he is determined he's going to be a good dad, and he knows what it's going to look like. And so every time he would do something with the boys, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you see your husband being involved with your kids, your heart just swells with pride. I'm just like, it just made me want to bawl. You know, he would either sit in the room, and he brought back this really cool thing from Korea, this flying helicopter thing. I remember that. Remember that? And he would sit in there, and they would work on it and get it to kind of fly. But he was just taking his time. He wasn't distracted. He was being fully present for them, and it would just make my heart swell. I mean, this is when they were little. So then as they were growing, you know, he would take them out to the ranch, and he would just find special opportunities to train them and to teach them doing ordinary, everyday things. So I was like, that's a way I learned to respect him. He was a great dad. And then there were just other things that he did that was like, you know, he went to work every single day. I never had to beg him one time to go to work. He woke every morning. You know, he got dressed to go to work. He never got dressed and put on his house shoes and robe and said, you know, I'm just don't feel like it today. I'm just going to sit around and watch some TV and kick back and take a couple of naps. Now, he never, ever did that. And he still doesn't today. He gets up, puts on his blue jeans and his shirt, and he goes to work, whatever that looks like for the day. I respect him for that. And I started learning to do that back when I kind of got a clue about that I wanted my marriage to work. And I knew it didn't all hinge on him. So just, my point is, find a scripture that you can focus on. And the thing is if you just do simple little things, in a course of a year, it adds up to a lot. If you take one scripture every month, just take one, and focus on that one scripture every day for 30 days, in 1 year, you'll have 12 scriptures you will have learned, rather than procrastinating and saying, oh, tomorrow. Oh, I can't think of anything. It's too easy now. I mean, look at this. Pastor Robert's made it so incredibly easy for this church and for anybody you give it to. I mean, we have the praying and the word. Any topic you could possibly imagine, it's in here. We put this together a long time ago, and he just did this amazing cover, and it's amazing. It's so simple. You don't even have to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to open my Bible. Flip. Let's see. But you can do that, right? How many of you flipped open your Bible and the God just spoke to you with the scripture that's sitting there? Yeah, we can do it right now. I can do that right now. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We can preach a message on that right this minute, right? Because we've all seen it. We've all had it working in our lives. Okay, so weapon number one is the word of God. Jesus is our example in Matthew 4. We see where Jesus goes to, he's led into the wilderness, right, to be tempted by the devil. The devil tempts him three times. And what does Jesus use to defeat the devil? The word of God. Why would we think that we could use anything else? If Jesus used the word to defeat the devil, then we have to use the word to defeat the devil. So we've got to quit procrastinating and quit reasoning in our brain that there's another way. There is no other way that we're going to defeat the devil in our lives. We have to refute those reasonings, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If sickness comes against your body, guess what? That's an argument that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. If financial difficulty is coming against you, that's an argument that's against the word of God. Because God says, I would above all things that you prosper. It's in the New Testament. And be in health even as your soul prospers. That's the weapon that we use to bring down every thought, every argument, every reasoning against God, against the knowledge of God. If it opposes anything that God's already said, you have to bring it down. And the only way to bring it down is with the word of God. Now, can you fight thoughts with thoughts? No. The answer is no. You do not fight thoughts with thoughts. When the thought comes, what do? We have to use our sword. We have to slash it and crash it with the word of God and bring it down and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what the rest of that scripture says. We resist the devil. And the Bible says to be sober and vigilant because the devil he's roaring, he's going about, he's trying to trip you up. And guess what? He's watching you and he's looking for your weakness. He's looking to find a place where you might be a little on the edge or, you know, on the fence about something. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to bring along little temptations and little thoughts and little reasonings, right? I'm always thinking about Adam and Eve in the garden. And when Dwayne preached about Abraham and Sarah, you remember Sarah never heard the whole time God tell Abraham that they were going to be the father of and mother of many nations, right? God came to Abraham and told Abraham several times, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. But Sarah never heard that. All she heard was Abraham saying that. Well, I went back and looked until Sarah was sitting inside the tent and she heard the angel tell Abraham, Sarah's going to bear a child at this time next year. She overheard it. She laughed. And he's like, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. She lied. She lied to the angel of the Lord. Really? Anyway, once she heard him say it, once she heard it come out of the mouth of God, faith went into her heart, and guess what? She had a baby that time next year. Well, when I was looking back in Genesis chapter 3, guess who God told, do not eat of this tree? Adam. So, he told Adam twice, and then who told Eve? Adam told Eve. So when the serpent came, all she had to go on was the word of her husband and not the word of the Lord. So here she's being tempted by the devil saying, has God really said that you can eat of all the trees? He was trying to sow a seed in Eve's heart that God was stingy. Right? Has God really said? And she's like, oh, no, we can eat of all the trees of the garden. He said we could eat freely of all the trees. We just can't eat of this one tree that's in the middle of the garden. There's this one tree that we cannot eat of. But he kept on working her. Well, you know what? God's really lying to you because you're not really going to die if you eat of the tree. Actually, God just doesn't want your eyes to be opened like his are. Right? Isn't that how the devil does? Subtle. Little bit here, little bit here. And then finally you cave in and you give in to the temptation to do what you know is not right. She knew it wasn't right. Adam, even though Adam said it, she knew it wasn't right to do it, right? That's why it's so important. Get in the Word and hear this for yourself. How many of you have actually read your Bible and you feel like God dropped something in you that you know, that you know, that you know that God said to do this, or he gives you instruction? Anybody? I mean, when you read it, it's like, oh my gosh, it just became revelation to me. In fact, that just reminded me of a thing with my marriage. I was reading this. This is where I got a major revelation. When Duane and I were probably, I don't know how long we've been married, I got pretty desperate for God pretty early into my marriage. I was like, okay, this is not Cinderella. This is not what I signed up for. I am not happy. I am miserable. And plus I had my mom and her whole prayer group praying for me. Thank you, Lord. So I was super miserable because of all that praying, and Holy Spirit was squeezing me. And, one of my dear friends, Becky, her mom was praying for her too. And anyway, so we were reading the Word together. Our husbands would go out hunting, coon hunting at night. This was back in the day when you can make money doing that. Anyway, and so we were sitting in her room, and we were just reading over the scriptures. And we said, okay, we're going to read this chapter. You read, I'm going to go read, and let's come together and let's share what God did, you know, what he shared with us. We're just getting hungry for the Word of God. So I read this scripture, and it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And I was like, God, to start with that one? That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. I mean, I never went any further than that. The Holy Ghost slapped me. And it says that they're going to be won over without a word. In other words, no preaching, no complaining, no trying to, you know, preach to him. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, don't do it. It's just 1 Peter 3. It says, they're going to be won over by the conduct of their wives. So my conduct is what was going to win my husband over. I'm like, oh my God. Oh man. What the heck? How am I going to do this? I mean, what kind of conduct, Lord? You know, I'm no saint. I don't know if I can do this. Anyway, so that's when he started teaching me about how to be a godly wife and to love him I don't know, I can't even explain it. Now I look back and I'm like, how did that really happen? We're going to have to go back and watch the tape because it was messy. It was messy. I mean, it wasn't pretty like I didn't get Cinderella, y'all. I have watched all the Disney movies, and I haven't found one that I fit into yet. I'm just trying to figure out. This is just our story, so hopefully, you know, it's all going to be on however they video stuff like that in heaven to go back and say, yay. So anyway, see how the Holy Ghost just goes, whoa! Okay, so I wanted to share with you the second weapon, and you all are going to sigh, and you're going to go, oh my gosh. Oh, man, because it said weapons, right? Here's weapon number two. It's probably weapon number one, but we're going to say the word is weapon number one because that's what Jesus used to defeat the devil. Weapon number two, turn to 1 Peter 4:8. Of course, I'm right there at 1 Peter 3, so that's good. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So the weapon is love. Now tell me, if you're in the flesh, how is your love walk going to be? It's going to be down here, right? But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, right? So love is a huge weapon that the devil absolutely can't stand. So what does he come against? Number one. He's going to come against your knowledge of the Word of God. He doesn't want you in the Word. He doesn't want you looking at your Bible. He doesn't want you looking at devotionals. He doesn't want you listening to anybody who's talking about the Word. So he's going to come against that. But guess what he's coming against? He's coming against your love walk. Promise. Promise. He's coming against your love walk. So 1 Corinthians 13, which we all know it's the love chapter. What's so funny is when Dwayne and I got married, I had one of the ministers, we had two ministers at our wedding, one that married us, and then the other one what happened to be the pastor at the time, and I just thought it was so cool. I want him to read 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 at my wedding. Yeah. So he starts reading this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. I mean, right there, I was just like, oh, kill me now. I mean, I was 18 years old, y'all. 2 weeks out of high school, I'm getting married to my Prince Charming. Okay, so it says, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Does anybody see my grave anywhere? Because you need to bury me now. Honestly, I'm not lying. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. I wanted to just read this to you real quickly in the Amplified Bible. It's quite scary. Oh, I'm not kidding. You know it is. Okay, listen to this. Frankie was talking about forgiveness in Sunday school. And this is the scripture that kept coming up to me because it's talking about the power of forgiveness and of how it affects you. That forgiveness is a healing that comes in you. It's not even about the other person. It's releasing yourself. And it's like, and he said, I think the saying is that forgiveness is like releasing the other person and realizing that it was you. You know, we've all heard that unforgiveness is like taking poison, waiting for the other person to die. But listen to this. I mean, this whole thing is so good. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, this is verse 1, but have not love, I'm only a noisy gong. I'm a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, and understand all secrets, truths, mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am a useless nobody. That's what the Amplified Bible says. You can prophesy, you can lay hands on people, you can be amazing, but if you have not love, you are nothing. If I dole out all that I have to the poor, And if I surrender my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I mean, just take a dagger right there and just like plunge it into me. I can't do this, God. It takes no account of the evil done to it. I think that was the scripture that I was thinking about, Frankie, was that when it says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's verse 5. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. All the other stuff that you talk about, it's all going to come to an end. But the love of God that he said is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5, it's already there. It just has to be activated and operated, and it will grow. So when I got a revelation of the lack of love that I had in my life for much less anybody else, but even for my own family, to be able to walk in love with anybody, I knew that I had to develop it. And the only way that you develop the love of God is by meditating on the Word. So I took 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 in the Amplified Bible because I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I just started memorizing it. Love is patient and kind. Lord, I thank you that because your love is shed abroad in my heart, I am patient and kind. And I just started confessing it. If that love is on the inside of me, then this is the way that I can be. I do not insist on my own rights. I do not insist on my own way. I am not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of an evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Okay, it sounds all exciting that you can pray that over yourself and think that it's all amazing, but guess what happens? What happens when you start confessing the word? The devil comes immediately to steal the word that is sown. There's a scripture in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 10. You need to underline this. Honey, did you use this the other night? 30? Let's see. Yeah. Is it Hebrews 10? Okay, let's see. I probably don't need to read that in the Amplified because I can't find it. Hebrews 10. It talks about being illuminated. When you read the Word of God, you become illuminated in the Spirit. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not like you're going to see it in the flesh. I'm not going to see you. Like, remember Moses' face glowed after he spent all that time with God? It doesn't always happen like that. It's not like you're going to be glowing when you've been reading the Word. Okay, let me see if I can find it. Thank you. I couldn't find it in the Amplified. Okay, yeah. It says, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Yeah. So after you read the word, you become illuminated. So do you think that my love walk was tested? I can tell you, even a couple months ago, my love walk was tested, and it wasn't. And I didn't want to retaliate with anger. My feelings were so hurt by this really ugly text that I got from somebody that I thought I knew really well, like I've known him for 30 years, and I got a text that was like this long, and it was harsh, and all I could say, you know, after I showed him, I'm like, this person does not know me at all. you know, you think somebody knows you, and then you're all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, misunderstanding, don't know me, no way. And what's so, I hate text is you can't read any emotion into it. You can't, all there are words. And so I immediately pick up the phone and try to call, you know, let's put this fire out. Let's, no conversation. A line has been struck through my name without me even being able to do anything. So it feels like your guts are wrenched out, your heart's pulled out and pulverized. And so my love walk was challenged that day, because how was I going to continue to walk? How would God show me how to walk in love with someone that does that? Have y'all, I mean, everyone's kind of been through something like that where you feel like your heart's been pulled out and pulverized and stuck back in. It's like, deal with that. How are you going to walk in love with that? So what I do is then we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I say, wherever love is, I put myself in there and I allow God to work and develop that. That's my weapon. And the devil absolutely cannot stand it for us to walk in love. And he will do everything he can to keep us from walking in love, because it is powerful. It says, love never fails. Love never fails. Amen. You haven't waved. Have you waved at me, honey? It's 8:10. You have? Is you're standing back there going, okay. I'm sorry. I just got into a flow with it. But okay. So let's just say we know we at least have two weapons, right? The word of God, which has to be sown in your heart and it has to come out of your mouth. That's how the sword works. You can't just think it. That's not how we fight. Jesus spoke it out of his mouth, right? We have to speak it out of our mouth. So promise me, just make that commitment to yourself that just even one scripture a month, you'll have 12 under your belt by the end of the year. I mean, 6 now. So we'll say 6. But so the two weapons that we're going to use to bring down every thought and every reasoning that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will be the word of God and to be able to walk in love. So that's my challenge for you tonight, that you will be able to, you'll be able to do that and defeat the works of the devil and accomplish God's perfect will for your life. Amen. Honey?